On today's Locked On Texan podcast, does Dameon Pierce's running style worry you for his long-term success? And which second-year player will surprise you the most?
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Wednesday episode of the Locked On Texan podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you guys who check us out every Monday through Friday. Our everyday is from the Himalayas. If you are new to the Locked On Texan podcast, as we are seeing our subscribers numbers go up, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Texans. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and make sure that you subscribe on YouTube as well under the name Locked On Texans. I'm Johnson, Sports Guy Hickman, joined by none other than Sports Illustrated's own and Houston Texan credential media member, Cody Davis. A couple of fun topics for today. Which second-year player will surprise you the most? But I think it's important to kick off with the conversation surrounding Dameon Pierce, who with just he just got the name of the angriest run of the year last season. Dameon Pierce is a running back that runs hard, runs tough, did not have a lot of tread on his tires coming out of college from Florida because of the lack of usage during his collegiate career, and had a very good year for Houston last year. Dameon Pierce rushed for 939 yards, four TDs, 4.3 yards per carry. And I think that the 4.3 yards per carry isn't fair to him considering how bad the O-line played at times. I mean, there were so many moments where Dameon Pierce was hit before the line of scrimmage or at the line of scrimmage. So I think that's kind of unfair to judge what he was able to do as a rookie. But he had a very good rookie year before he got hurt. However, the thing about Dameon Pierce is not only does he take hits, but he gives hits. I'm not going to compare him to New York Giant legend Brandon Jacobs, but I do think that he can have a better career than what Brandon Jacobs has. But he's a guy that is tough to bring down. Derrick Henry, again, not comparing the two. Tough to bring down. I think that when you look at why Dameon Pierce is so tough to bring down as a runner, it's not that he's not, you know, in open space, you don't want to necessarily see him, but he brings the hits at times, right? People avoid Derrick Henry. People avoided Brandon Jacobs. Dameon Pierce kind of seeks it out. And with him getting the Angriest Run of the Year award, going into his second year, ending off his rookie year with an injury, I can't help but to think whether fans and even myself is kind of worried about his style of running the ball. And I think that's a fair thought to have.
I think it all depends on the Houston Texans, whether or not you need to be concerned with it. Because when you go back and you take a look at his rookie season, the man rushed the ball for 220 times. That's a lot. And then, you know, we have said this on the show a lot, that there were several times where Dameon Pierce was the only offensive weapon, the only player to help move the chains for the Houston Texans in 2022. There was a lot on his plate as a rookie, and that's part of the reason why he finished his rookie season with 939 rushing yards and four touchdowns. However, John, I think going into this season, I don't think it's going to be a concern because he's not going to be the only weapon that the Houston Texans have on the offensive side of the ball, even on their bad days. And B, most importantly, you look at the addition of Devin Singletary, is going to also take a lot off his plate as well. So you look at Devin Singletary, and I also want to mention this as well. When you look at the inefficiencies of the Texans offense last year, a lot of it had to do with the subpar play from Davis Mills, Jeff Driscoll, Kyle Allen, and the rest of the Houston Texans quarterback room. This year, you know, if they start Davis Mills for the first couple of games of the season, I'm expecting a better version of Davis Mills. And then you also got to look at whenever CJ Stroud touched the field, whether that's week one, week five, week 10, week whatever, whenever he finally takes over as this team's starting quarterback, you definitely know the quarterback play is going to be better. And by the way, I know we talk a lot about, you know, what the wide receiving core doesn't have and whether or not Davis Mills, CJ Stroud, has enough weapons. I do want to mention this as well. That tight end group is going to be a lot better, which also means with their blocking, it's going to make the runs for Damian Pierce a lot easier as well. But like I said, man, it all depends on the Houston Texans, how to utilize him, and whether or not we need to be concerned or not.
Fun fact, when Damian Pierce runs towards the right end, which is, you know, the combination of Tytus Howard and whatever tight end was on that side.
That's going to be Shaq. Oh, you say tight end. Oh, you tight end. I'm sorry.
Tight end, yeah. So whenever, you know, the right end, Damian Pierce had 224 rushing yards, 7.7 yards per carry, 3 TDs, 11 first downs, 10 or more yard runs, and yards after carry was 192. So, you know, you mentioned him running to the inside was when you saw the best version of him. But when I look at him, man, I can't help to think to myself, for Damian Pierce, just to be more of a patient runner. And I think with the addition of Shaq Mason being able to help solidify that right guard position, Damian Pierce as a zone runner last year, looking it up right now, compared to he had 108 zone runs last season. It's pretty effective whenever he ran the ball in the zone scheme. And so I think that solidifying the offense, boosting up that offensive line to where he's not having to take as many hits as he's going to give, because he's going to give those hits. But him not getting hit as much is going to help his style of play as well. And I think also just more time in the NFL, right? He's coming into the league where he hadn't had an opportunity to run the ball that many times. So now when you look at 220 yards, that's something a running back really wants. Danny Barrett, you know, who was happy to have Damian Pierce last year. Remember, he was smiling ear to ear when you asked him about it. But Danny Barrett is going to have to do a better job of relaying the message of being patient as a runner. And you don't always have to take those unnecessary hits. Damian Pierce is a running back I think this organization really can see on this team for the next 3 to 4 seasons when they start to make their run at the finishing process of building this team back up. And you don't want to see his career cut short. So he's going to have to learn to be a better a patient runner and not give as many hits or take as many hits as well.
To understand how beneficial the addition of Dalton's is going to be for this upcoming season, John, Dalton finished the 2022 campaign with a run blocking grade of 71.6. We are expecting him to be a really reliable pass catcher for CJ, for Davis Mills, but we can't forget about his run blocking, especially knowing that he has the experience in Dallas blocking for Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah. Damian Pierce also has 6 games with 60 or more yards per after contact. 6 games with he was hit, and then he has 60 more yards after that. He's a tough runner. That's a part of his game. He's just going to have to adapt in order to establish longevity. If you're out there looking for a delicious snack, something that can hold you over, which is what we grew up saying in my household, eat a snack so it can hold you over. But if you're looking for something that doesn't have a lot of sugar, doesn't have a lot of calories, you need to check out Built Bar, one of the best tasting protein bars on the market. Covered in 100% real dark chocolate, amazing flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and cookies and cream. Good for a fuel technique to fuel your body. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, a whopping 17 grams of protein. While you're out there running errands, you can go and pick them up at your local Walmart or Sam's Club, or you can still order your specialty flavors online at built.com.
Welcome back in, ladies and gentlemen, to this Wednesday installment of Locked On Texans. And today is going to be week 2 for us media members to be out there for OTAs with the Houston Texans, which means on tomorrow's show, we're going to be discussing some takeaways and observations from OTAs, and which, by the way, today is actually the day we're going to have an opportunity to talk to the position coaches and coordinators. So, of course, that's going to be very fun. Loved talking to Coach D'Amico Rhines, but I think we get a little bit more in depth when you talk to the coordinators, especially the position coaches, which, by the way, I can't wait to talk to Coach Danny Barrett to see how happy he is to get a second year with Damian Pierce. And of course, this is going to be the first year since he became the running back coach for the Houston Texans that he is going to have some stability. So that's going to be something to keep our eyes on. But of course, with OTAs continuing this week, we're going to have our eyes set on C.J. Stroud, Tank Dell, Xavier Hutchinson, the rest of all the rookies. However, John, listeners and viewers, I think it's very important that we don't forget and we need to discuss the sophomore class. And John, you mentioned it. We need to discuss, you know, who are some of the sophomores that's actually going to have a surprising year? And for me, I'm going with linebacker Christian Harris. I like Christian Harris. You know, the one thing that surprised me about Harris last year, due to injury, he was limited in training camp. I believe missed some, if not all, of preseason. And he started his rookie season on the shelf due to an injury. I can't remember what it was. However, from the very first day he made his NFL debut, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was against the Jacksonville Jaguars, you saw something special in that young man. And, of course, he did a really good job holding his own throughout his rookie campaign. And the one thing that excited me was, let me just say this. We all have some type of expectations for Christian Harris, but due to the hiring of Coach D'Amico Rhines, somebody who became an all-pro linebacker, the same position that he plays, I believe that Christian Harris is going to exceed the expectations that most of us, including myself, already have for that young man entering his second season.
I don't know. I don't know if Christian Harris would surprise me.
That's why I say surpass the expectation. Whatever you're thinking, I think he could be better.
I don't know if Christian Harris does it. I don't know if Derek Stingley does it in terms of surprising me. Jalen Petrie had a ball out, you know, phenomenal rookie year. He wouldn't necessarily surprise me. John Metchie would get on the field, and I don't have real expectations for him as of right now, so I wouldn't be surprised. But Kenyon Green is where I think he'd be the one to surprise a lot of people. The Texans in the 2023 draft went out and drafted Jared Patterson, center from Notre Dame. They drafted him, you know, as a center, but he does have versatility to play that guard position. He's been able to do that in his collegiate career. And when you look at Damian Pierce, who we just talked about, the yards after contact per attempt was the lowest and third lowest whenever running towards the side of Kenyon Green. There was moments last year where Kenyon Green was knocked 2 yards already in the backfield. That's just a young man who needs that time and adjustment, which is why, you know, I'm not worried that he's not out there right now, but I wonder how far along in the process is he right now physically to get back on their field so mentally he can get prepared. The young man, like, I don't think people understand, and I think people underestimate the gauntlet he went through last year as a rookie that did not have a real offseason coming into the NFL. So it's kind of the same thing, 2 off-seasons in a row. Now when July rolls around, the conversation should be totally different. He should be on that field. He should be ready to go. His conditioning should be great, because I want to see the young man succeed, hometown kid. But he is a player that I think at the end of the year, I'm going to claim and say he's going to surprise some people. I don't think there's going to be a monumentous jump. I don't, but it'll be better than last year. And he'll give this offensive line, the offensive line coaches, Nick Caserio, D'Amico Rhines, I think he'll give them a reason to make sure that he is in competition to keep his job. I'm excited to see what he does, Because when I see Derek Stingley, and I know what he can do, and I saw what he could do in practice versus two of the top five or six wide receivers in the league right now, I'm not surprised if he goes out there and shuts it down in a system that won't take away from him. But I'd be surprised, and I think people would be too, if we're looking at Keon Green and saying, okay, these are the improvements from week one to week seven. He's made some big strides in order to keep his job. Because I don't think it's as I don't think he can't lose it, if that makes sense. Laremy Tunsil can't lose that tackle position. He can't. It ain't going to happen. But Keon Green, I can't wait to see what he does. I think he does good.
So on that same note, John, really quick, what would a successful, surprising season from Keon Green will look like to you?
That's a good question. Let's look and see.
Because to me, when I think about it, I want to see him get back to the run blocker that he was at Texas A&M. I remember doing my draft analysis, and that was one of, if not the biggest on-field attribute that I love most from him. I mean, yeah, he's versatile doing and doing his time at A&M. I believe he played everyone on the line except for center. His pass protection was good, but knowing the improvements that the Houston Texans definitely needed in their run game, the addition of Keon Green, knowing what he did for that backfield, I was like, I want to see that version of him in his second season.
Yeah. He gave up 4 sacks last year, 12 hits, 31 hurries. Oh, man. Let's see. He also 47 pressures allowed. He had a rough year last year, man. And I think I don't want to necessarily judge him on sacks allowed. I mean, he was a rookie last year. He gave up 4. Titus Howard, who was going to his fourth to fifth year as a vet, he gave up 3. So, like, and it may have been 4, but 12 penalties, a lot of holding calls. The big thing for Keon Green is to execute in the ways that made you a top prospect for the Texans coming out of college. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Cody, that's moving some bodies out the way. Mm-hmm. That's different when you get into the league and you got to go from Christian Wilkins to Dexter Lawrence to Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne. It's different when that's your first run. But get back to the things that made Nick Caserio say, I'm comfortable trading back right now to acquire picks because I got a guy that I really do like. And that is going to be moving bodies out the way. That is going to be blocking, run blocking better. And then cleaning up the mechanics with the young man strength. He's stronger than me, I'm sure. But the young man strength and cleaning up those mechanics as a pass blocker, right? So a lot of his issues last year with pass blocking was mechanics, honestly. And him being so used to be able to overpower people and not, you know, the smoothness in his kickback, his kick step, and things like that. So those improvements, and again, I sound like a broken record, but do what you do well. Welcome back in, Locked On Texans listeners and viewers. If you are new to the podcast, be sure to subscribe. And thank you guys for sticking around, checking us out. Hey, before we get up out of here today, Mark Berman, who?
The GOAT.
One of the GOATs in Houston sports media in terms of, you know, journalism, true professional, retired on Tuesday.
Now he announced his retirement, and his last day is June 16th, I think.
June 16th. Okay. 10th. Sorry about that, Mark.
I think it's 16th, if I'm not mistaken.
He was still working, though, and Mark Berman reported the Texans will have joint practices with the Dolphins and the Saints during the preseason. Preseason season. And this will be the Texans' first joint practice since the Washington Commanders. They were the Redskins at the time.
And D-Hop gave us one of our greatest moments in franchise history.
Oh, man.
Did he? By the way, what do you think is more iconic? And it's probably a dumb
Andre thing. Johnson.
Okay, fine. Andre Johnson. You already know where I was going.
Andre Johnson. Listen, and I'm going to put it out there. Which was more iconic, guys? Was it Andre Johnson versus the Tennessee Titans?
Corey, What is his name?
He got his name beat out of him.
Yeah.
But y'all know when Andre Johnson took his helmet out and put them paws on him. Or D-Hop versus D-Hall during the joint practice on Hard Knocks.
Did he tell his Achilles on that play?
Oh, man, it was bad. But how exciting is it to get preseason joint practices? We are out of COVID. We are out of the Cully era, the Lovey era. We are back into some football that gets – I think this is important for the fans, man, honestly. Hmm. This is what – you know, hopefully they allow fans to get out there and watch some of their joint practices like they used to. And this is a great way to get that community engagement, fan engagement. Let's get that back on the road. Give them something good to look to.
Courtland Finnegan. That was his name. But look, I'm not surprised. You know, we joked about this a couple of weeks ago. They didn't want to take Cully on the road. No, Cully was. Yeah, they didn't want to take Cully on the road. Lovie Smith probably was too old and grouchy. He didn't want to go nowhere. And, of course, 2020, that started the whole optional, you don't need it. You know, of course, that was the COVID season. But, you know, it's going to be really exciting. I think I'm more excited to see the Miami Dolphins one more so than the New Orleans Saints. Only because that's going to be two of San Francisco's prodigies going head-to-head, and it's going to be fun to see. You know, it's going to be fun, man. You know, I can't wait till preseason. It's going to be very fun, man. I can't wait to see it.
Thank you guys for checking out today's episode of the Locked On Texans podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Texans. Take those same two thumbs, scroll over to YouTube, type in Locked On Texans, hit the subscribe button, like, and comment. Follow me on Twitter at John_Hickman12. Not what that says. John_Hickman12. Shoot me a follow and let me know so I can follow you back.
And as always, I'm your host, Cody M. Davis. Please remember to follow me on Twitter at CodyDavis_24. Once again, that's Cody, CotyDavis_24. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, peace.